So this morning's text, this Sunday, August, the beginning of August, kind of winding down the summer for many of our kids and stuff, we begin a new series that is called Imagining the People of God. So I'm going to invite you to try and get out of that practical side of your brain and into the creative side of your brain, that brain that can take on concepts that sometimes don't have anything that we can hold on to. So we begin with this text from Ephesians, which is a prayer by the writer to the people of Ephesus. And I'm going to back up just a bit to the 14th verse to start there. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth takes its name. I pray that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant that you may be strengthened in your inner being with power through his Holy Spirit, and that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, as you are being rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you may have the power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fulfillment of God. Now to God, who is by the power at work within us, able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to God be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Now I want you to hear this same prayer as it's written in the Message. This is a translation or a paraphrase that I think some ways helps us to think about the text a bit. I ask him that with both feet planted firmly on love, you will be able to imagine with all followers of Jesus the extravagant dimension of Christ's love. Reach out and experience the breadth. Test its length. Plumb the depths. Rise to the heights. Live full lives, full in the fullness of God. God can do anything, you know, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this particular prayer is so full of imagery that sometimes it's hard to take it apart. You know, sometimes it's just, you know, there's too much. You'd need a series of 7-8 weeks in order to deal with all of the pieces that are in there. So I'm going to just look at it in a general way, but then also in the context of our theme, Imagine the People of God. So the writer, writing to Ephesus, has been talking to them in the letter about reconciliation. About reconciliation to God and reconciliation to each other. That this God has managed to break down the walls between us all. Do you find that hard to imagine? It's the only way we can really think about it is to imagine it, because we don't always experience it in life, right? We are talking constantly about our need to get to know other people and to understand other people and to appreciate them for who they are and for what they believe and what they value. You know, we're constantly talking about how we need to love one another and love our enemies. And yet we talk about building walls, right? We talk about us and them. So it seems to me that it is only with the imagination that we can actually start to think about this family of God. It's only as we remember that it's God's doing and not our doing that we are gathered, not just here on Sunday, but on this earth together. And sometimes that just seems beyond our ability to comprehend, right? It says that in the prayer, even though this is beyond our knowledge. And yet still we are invited not only into the imagining of it, but into the living it out, the being the people that create that world where barriers are brought down. And some days I think the church is doing a pretty good job of that. We come on Sunday and we're not all the same. There's a variety of people that come together, right? We're old and young, we're different economic and intellectual statuses, and we have different skin colors, and we have different hair colors and eye colors. We have different ways of thinking about our faith and about experience our faith, right? There's some diversity here, and yet not quite all of the diversity that God has created, right? It's not quite all here yet. We're called to imagine that time when it will be all gathered in together around a table like this. And everyone in the family will be present. But for now, we can only imagine that. But if we couldn't imagine it, there would be no way to work toward it, right? So, I played basketball in college. I know some of you may find that hard to believe, but I did. It was a small college. Everybody got to play. I was actually the most improved my first year there. I'm not sure what that says about your skills to begin with when you're the most improved. But anyway, I played basketball, and of course, one of the techniques they use is visualization. So when you're shooting a free throw, you're supposed to stand there first and visualize the ball going into the hoop before you shoot it. You have to use your imagination for that, because if you shoot free throws like I do, that was not typical. So every time I would come up and I would imagine this reality of the ball going through the loop, and of course cheers and points and all of that, and then I'd get up there and I'd miss it again. And yet I continued to try and imagine what it would be like if I could make that shot, and I hit it. It happened. Now, did it happen because I had a lot of practice in it? Did it happen because I could imagine it? It's a combination of things, right? If you have the imagination for whatever it is you're trying to do, you also have to put the work into making it happen, right? I think the writer of Ephesians has been going on about this reconciliation that God has brought to the world through Jesus Christ, when suddenly he thinks, oh my gosh, I need for them to be able to comprehend this. I need for them to be able to envision this. I need for them to, oh, these things seem so much more than we're capable of. And so he pauses and he prays, which I also did right before my free throw. Not a bad idea. Imagination. We're people made in the image of God, and I think it's because it's a God of imagination. A God that can see bigger things than what they are right at the moment. Sees the potential in us. Sees the possibilities on the earth, right? God creates that to be part of who we are and how we're living together. All the amazing things that have been created in the world today are only created because somebody imagined it and then put the work into making it happen, whether it's going to the moon or building computers, right? Whether it's a beautiful piece of art or a lovely concerto, somebody first imagined it and then put the effort into making it happen. Now, the difficulty for this idea of reconciliation of races and genders and peoples around the world, which is what the writer is calling for, what God calls us as a church to be part of, the challenge there is we sometimes don't have enough of imagination We can't see it happening. All we can see is the way it keeps not happening, right? Especially if you watch the news. I don't know how many of you watch anymore. Some of you probably get it from the internet or from, you know, online. Maybe you don't even bother. I have to turn it off from time to time. But when we watch it, we're not seeing stories of reconciliation, right? We see more and more stories of division and destruction. All the more reason the people of the church have to use their imaginations. And not just their imaginations, but the spirit that God gives them, that lives in their inner being. Right? The prayer is for that power of the Spirit and for Christ to dwell in us so that we too might have that same vision that God has for what is possible, where the potential is in all of us, right? I worked at Rogers Park Presbyterian Church before I came this direction, and every summer we would have a day camp. And at first the day camp, we thought, no way, we can't. We're only a church of 50, and most of those people are working during the days. There's no possibility. But the community was crying out for a day camp. These people who depended upon the schools to be their child care during the rest of the year were trying to figure out how they were going to take care of their kids through the summer months. So there was an opportunity in the city for having a lunch program. The city provides all the foods. You just have to be the place that opens up your doors and feeds the kids. And so we thought, well, we can do at least that. We can imagine ourselves doing that. What will it take, a half a dozen people to be there to open the doors and to set out the food and check off the numbers and stuff like that? But then we thought, somebody had this dream that, well, we could put a program with it. We could have a game or two while the kids were around the tables. We could do that, and so it would mean a few more people. But we got a few more people that said they'd come on from time to time, a couple of days a week, and help us out. So now it's lunch and a little bit of time of games and activities, and then we decide, well, you know, we could really get more folks to help us plan some programs for the afternoon and the morning so that we could maybe. There was no way that we could do this. We didn't have the people to do this. No matter how much we imagined and envisioned, it was not going to be possible with the resources that we had at Rogers Park. And yet we remembered and we prayed about it. And we remembered that God is with us in this, and God provides us with what we need to do the work that God calls us to do. So if we can imagine it, and if we can trust in God, we can make it happen. And the first summer we did 11 weeks of day camp from 9 to 5 every day. We were crazy, and we adjusted that the next summer. We only did 10 weeks from 9 to 4 every day. That's pretty amazing, right? But we had to depend upon God to provide us with people to make it happen. So we put a plea out into the community saying we needed some folks to help us with art and with dance and with reading and with music. And sure enough, a handful of people come, and with some challenges in our schedule, which whenever somebody didn't show up was good for the kids because that meant we went to the playground. And they were happy with that. Or we got to play games, you know, inside at the church there, run around the church and play hide and seek and stuff. So it worked out for them. But it started as a little idea. But as we used our imagination for it, it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And suddenly it was so big, there was no way we were going to do it without God and a lot of other people's help. That's the way the church is called to be in matters of mission and care. You know, when somebody in our congregation is sick and they need meals, we find a way to do it, right? Because we can imagine what's needed, and we make it happen. So a couple weeks ago, our session got together to imagine what children and youth ministries could look like in this church. And we didn't spend a whole lot of time talking about whether it would be on Wednesday nights or whether it would be on Sunday mornings or whether it would involve games or Bible study lessons. What we talked about first and foremost is why we want to do this. And somebody said baptismal vows. We've made promises to these children and to these youth. And now we're called to imagine what that is, how we fulfill those promises. Somebody else said, because we love our kids and we like them being here in the church with us. Someone else says, because we want them to know God. Together, we imagined why it's important to have children and youth ministries in this church. Oh yeah, they said the typical thing. Well, we've got young families and children in the community and they need a place to go to church. And we've said things like, well, we want our church to grow and they're our future, which are true too. But mostly it's a calling from God to do something, to attend to our children and youth. And what it's going to take is our imagination. And more than just our imagination, it's going to take some work on our part to make it happen. It's going to take resources and it's going to take people stepping up. And why would we do any of this? Because we've made promises? Because God has put this vision in our head for what it could be? Because we want our children to know God? Because we want to grow our church? So in the next couple of weeks, we're going to invite you to think about being the people of God. And part of that's going to be an ongoing conversation with you about what it's going to take for us to support a children and youth ministry in this church. So I hope that you leave here this morning imagining what it might be. Imagining not only what it would look like, but how it would affect our church, how it could change the lives of our children and youth. But I need you to remember, excuse me, I've now got a tickle in my throat. I need you to remember, this is something that we cannot do without God being with us, right? But because God is with us, we can imagine something big. We can imagine something amazing. We can imagine our children knowing the depth and the height and the breadth and the length of God's love for them. Amen.